بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وإذ تأذن ربكم لئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم ولئن كفرتم إن عذابي لشديد، وقال تبارك وتعالى: فلما نسوا ما ذكروا به فتحنا عليهم أبواب كل شيء حتى إذا فرحوا بما أوتوا أخذناهم بغتة فإذا هم مبلسون. صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa fazl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are seated here today with this great gift of Iman. Allah has given us the tawfiq to be Muslims and to attend the Jummah Salah, whereas there are thousands and hundreds of thousands of people out there who are seated in some temple or some church. We make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we just experienced the Mubarak month of Ramadan with such ease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the South African Muslims with such a beautiful Ramadan under 12-hour fasts, peak winter months, such short days of fasting, with complete safety in terms of warfare, in terms of poverty, in terms of ignorance and bad deen. Respected brothers, there was great effort done by our forefathers when coming to this country to preserve this deen. And alhamdulillah, we are benefiting from the fruits of these efforts. My point I'm getting to is, there are thousands of people in the world who are Muslims by name, but up in this day and age, they do not know the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There are people we personally met in some countries where their parents, their grandparents, great-grandparents, all Muslims, but they haven't heard the word Allah. This is talking about 2015, last year. People haven't heard the word Allah. Whilst we had such ease of fast, there were people in the world who had to fast over 20 hours of fasting duration during this month of Ramadan. There were people who had to undergo severe Middle Eastern heat, 45 to 50 degrees heat, to fast during the month of Ramadan. Whilst alhamdulillah, the South African Muslims had such ease in this month of Ramadan. Whilst we had ease coming to the masjid to perform our Taraweeh Salah, we were spoiled for choice to which masjid we would like to attend for Taraweeh Salah. We were spoiled for choice to which masjid we would spend our iftar. We have the safety of giving azan on the loudspeaker. Our masjids have more than one imam. We can perform ghusl to our janazah, our deceased. We can do the burial according to Sharia law, bearing in mind we are minority Muslims in a non-Muslim country. I met a senior member of parliament recently in the month of Ramadan from a Muslim country who tells me that if we had to dress like you, then we would be locked up in our jails forever. If we have to grow a beard in a Muslim country, we will be imprisoned for life. If we had to don the sunnah clothing of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a Muslim member of parliament telling me this in a Muslim country, that if we had to adorn the sunnah clothing of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a Muslim country, we will be imprisoned for life. After hearing that statement, thinking back home, minority Muslims in a non-Muslim country, we got 101% freedom of deen. Look at this locality of Overport in Asheville. There are 5 to 6 masajid. If you have to send your son for hijj classes, you have a choice of approximately 9 to 10 hijj classes in the Overport Asheville area alone. There are countries which do not even have a single hijj madrasa in the entire country. We have this concept of Islamic schools. We have 20, 30, 40 Islamic schools in a non-Muslim country as South Africa. Where someone tells me, again, a member of parliament of the Muslim country tells me, we are now instructed to remove all Islamiyat from our syllabus in our colleges and our schools. But here we're in a non-Muslim kuffar country, and we can have total 101% freedom of deen. Respected brothers, whilst we had good iftar and good sehri, there were thousands of people crossing the oceans, the Mediterranean Ocean, crossing from Syria and Turkey to find home in Europe. There were thousands sleeping on the streets. There were 30,000, approximately 30,000 Syrian children starving during the month of Ramadan on the Syrian-Jordanian border. 30,000 children, that's what our news gives us. Whilst alhamdulillah, we had good iftar, good sehri, short hours of fasting, Tarawih Salah over by 8:30. We had the entire night, long nights, rest and sleep. The ayat I mentioned in the beginning, Allah mentions, وَإِسْتَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are appreciative, if you are grateful towards the bounties which Allah has blessed you, then I will increase more bounties for you. If you are grateful to the bounties of Allah in this country, the freedom of deen that we have in this country, the ulama in the hundreds and thousands in this country, the masajid in this country, the darul ulums in this country, the work of tabligh jamaat in this country, jamaats coming, knocking at our doors, reminding us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muslim schools, we have Islamic banking, we have Muslim prison board, we have halal authorities. All this is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a minority Muslims in a non-Muslim country. I'm emphasizing this point, minority Muslims in a non-Muslim country. We do not deserve this. It's not our right to have this 101% freedom in a non-Muslim country. And Allah mentions, وَلَا إِن كَفَرْتُمْ. If you make na-shukri, if you do not make your salah, if you do not make use of this Islamic and dini structures and facilities which I have blessed you in this country, if you do not attend the masajid, you do not respect the ulama, you do not sit for the talks of the ulama, you chase away the tabligh jamaat knocking at your door, reminding you of the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have the ability to fast, you have the freedom to fast, but you do not fast. You have the freedom and the facilities for Tarawih Salah, but you do not attend Tarawih Salah. You have the facilities of madaris to send your children to the madrasas. You have the facilities of reciting Quran, but you do not recite Quran. Then, وَلَا إِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٍ. Verily, my punishment, my azab is extremely severe. Respected brothers, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentions, أَنَّ حَقِيقَةَ الشُّكْرِ هِيَ ظُهُورُ أَثَرِ نِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى عَلَى قَلْبِ عَبْدِهِ مُحِبًّا وَعَلَى لِسَانِ عَبْدِهِ ثَنَاءً وَعَلَى جَوَارِحِ عَبْدِهِ طَاعَةً وَإِنْقِيَادًا. He mentions that making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is firstly in the heart. We feel nice, we appreciate, and we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these great gifts and bounties Allah has blessed us. Secondly, with our tongue we say alhamdulillah. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His gifts. But most importantly is we use our limbs, and our actions are a means of appreciating the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have to analyze and look at our condition today, particularly as South African Muslims, if we have to look deep and introspect, to see which group do we fall in. Do we fall under the group where Allah says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, if you make shukr, I will increase you in the bounties. Or do we fall in the group, وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ, if you make na shukri, if you're unappreciative, then إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ, verily my azab and my punishment is severe. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being the Nabi of Allah, being the Habib of Allah, despite him and his glorious companions being promised and guaranteed Jannah whilst they were living, Hadha Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that on the 15th night of Sha'ban, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bi afwika min iqabik, O Allah, I seek refuge in your forgiveness from your punishment, wa a'udhu bi ridhaka min sakhatik, and I seek refuge in your pleasure from your displeasure, wa a'udhu bika minka, and I seek refuge in you, from you, meaning from your wrath, from your azab. This is a dua the Nabi of Allah, the Habib of Allah was making. Fearing and concerned that the azab of Allah should not come on this ummah. If you look at every ummah, every Nabi's nation, they were involved in at least one major sin. And despite that Nabi warning them of that sin, they continued in that sin, not taking heed from his warnings. Allah destroyed the entire nation. Allah swept away the entire nation. Allah drowned the entire nation. If you look at our ummah, we have every single sin of the past nations in one ummah. And recently, currently, our ulama are speaking out. They're speaking regarding the warning signs in this country. We can say political, but it is a fact that Allah had deprived us for a long time of power and electricity. We can say that's political, but end of the day, we were suffering without power. We are currently suffering. Allah is withholding His rain. This is signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alarm bells. These are alarm clocks ringing from time to time. Small warnings to us that if you, O Muslims of South Africa, if you do not change your lifestyle, you do not turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inna azabi lashadid, my azab to come will be very, very severe. These are not my words. These are the words of our akabirin and our senior ulama of the country who've been stressing on this point from time to time. Respected brothers, Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah, some 30-40 years ago, in one of his lectures, which was mentioned in this masjid by our Hazrat rahimahullah, where he explained the entire bayan of Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah, after his visit to Burma, and he witnessed the wealth and the lavish lifestyles of the Muslims of Burma, and the wedding ceremonies which were taking place there upon his return. He gave a message to the people of Burma, warning them, and he says, just as a small child can predict rain after seeing dark clouds, I'm no buzruk, I'm no pious person, but I can see dark clouds hanging over the people of Burma. If you do not change your lifestyle and downgrade your lifestyles and stay away from sin, then a very severe punishment will befall this nation of Burma. These people, these Muslims, unfortunately did not take heed from the lessons and from the message and advice of Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah. That overnight, the government of Burma deployed that army to the homes and businesses of the Muslims of Burma to explain to you the wealth of Burma. The Muslims of Burma, they used to roll up their money notes into cigarettes. That's the amount of money they had and wealth they had. They used to roll up their money notes into cigarettes. Overnight, the soldiers are standing outside their door demanding their house keys and business keys, and they were told to flee without any possessions. We met a couple of these people from Burma and Rohingya people in the shores of Indonesia. In a very strange story, how they reached Indonesia, they fled into boats and ships. Captain abandoned them in the middle of the ocean, and Allah made this boat sail to the islands of Indonesia. But if you look at their condition today, once upon a time, a person living in a mansion with big, big businesses, today he's a refugee in Indonesia. Respected brothers, one action which is very common and rife in our community today, I am just narrating the words of our senior ulama who have been warning us from time to time. And this action of ours encompasses many, many sins, which is drawing the displeasure and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the beautiful sunnah of nikah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we have distorted and have incorporated the rituals of Hinduism and Christianity into our nikahs and walimas and weddings. If you look at from the time a bride and groom get engaged, from that time they are dating and they're courting, involved in zina. There's an engagement ceremony which is not part of deen. In that ceremony, most of the ceremonies, there's music, there's intermingling. The amount of wealth which is used and wastage in those events and functions. Then from that time till the day of nikah, sometimes it's 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Then the famous wedding week, when everyone advertises team groom and team bride. This was not found in the nikah of our sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And the concern is that during this week, there's a day and night that we call the Mehndi night. If you look at the Hindu culture, this Mehndi night is found in the Hindu culture. And we as Muslims, even our theme on that night is the Eastern theme and Eastern outfits. Respected brothers, time is running out. We've come to an extent where some families, they hire professional dancers to train our beloved sons and daughters to perform acts, dance and sing during this night of Mehndi. And then the day of nikah, we get a mawli sahab to perform the nikah and to make dua for the bride and groom. The mawli sahab make dua, Allah grants them barakat in their marriage. Is our marriages like the nikah of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha to Hazrat Ali radiallahu an? And then we get a qirat before our reception, our walima, that to the barakat of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah bless the couple and the ceremony. Are we making mazak? Are we mocking the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, respected brothers? How are we going to face that Nabi who sacrificed his entire life for us? He sacrificed his family for us. Entire night used to go, him crying in the sajda, Allahumma ummati, Allahumma ummati, oh Allah my ummat, oh Allah my ummat. That Nabi, his companions sacrificed their lives for us so that deen may reach us. That Nabi in Taif, he was stoned. His Mubarak shoes were filled with his Mubarak blood. When Allah was prepared to destroy the people of Taif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, I have this hope that someone from the progeny of Taif one day may get hidayat. And that one person got hidayat by the name of Muhammad bin Qasim, who took deen to India, and who knows, we are seated here today through his barakat. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the battle of Khandaq, when Sahaba go to him, showing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one stone tied to their bellies due to severe hunger, he shows them two stones tied to his Mubarak belly out of hunger. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his heel used to split because of entire night of ibadat and salah. Not for him, not for his family, not for his Sahaba, but for us, his ummah, to come after him. Because his Sahaba and his family and he himself were guaranteed Jannah whilst they were living. But his concern was this ummah. That Nabi who is the Habib of Allah, his daughter Hadha Fatima radiallahu anha, who will be the queen, who will be the leader of our woman folk in Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to visit her, asking, where's my children Hassan and Hussein? He says their father Ali radiallahu anh has taken them outside to look for some food because they are crying. There has been no food in the house for days. This is the grandchildren of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar radiallahu anh goes to visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sees the condition of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he starts to cry. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Umar, you come to visit me and you cry." He says, "I see the imprint of your mat, your bedding on your Mubarak back. This is the condition of the Habib of Allah. This sacrifices and qurbani was done so that we may get iman." Look at the glorious Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an. Bilal radiallahu an will be standing on the day of Qiyamah. He'll be rising with us. But he will present to Allah his qurbani, being dragged on the desert's hot sands of Makkah. Abu Huraira, who has narrated the most number of ahadith from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to fall down unconscious. This was the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam falling down unconscious due to severe hunger. Abu Huraira used to place his Mubarak chest on the floor so that some moisture from the floor could enter his body. That Abu Huraira narrates the most number of ahadith. Respected brothers, time has run out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us in this dunya for a time frame and for a purpose. Every single person seated here and in this dunya has an expiry tag around their necks. Some of us today, some of us tomorrow, some one day, 5 days, 10 years, 100 years, 50 years. We do not know our expiry tag and expiry date. Allah has sent us, أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, to do a'mal. And Allah will call us back one day. And Allah will ask us, what a'mal do you have to present to me? I've sent you in the dunya for 100 years. What a'mal have you done? Whilst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be rising up with his sahaba ikram, blood oozing from their bodies, their life full of sacrifice and qurbani. They will present their qurbani to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will we South African Muslims present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When Allah questions us, I gave you all 101% freedom of deen. There were structures of deen, there were ulama ikram at your disposal, there were madaris and makatib. What have you presented to me? What do you have to present to me today when you had all these facilities? Respected brothers, I end with one narration from Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala an. He narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions very close in my ummah, there will be people in my ummah who will eat from different types of food and they will drink different types of drink and different colors of drink. They will wear different types and colors of clothing. But these people will be indulging in futile activities and talk. These people will be the worst of my ummah. These people will be the worst of my ummah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the tawfiq and He grants us hidayat. The month of Ramadan has passed and Allah ta'ala give us the strength to continue making tawbah and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected brothers, the time is now to make lifestyle changes and to stand in front and to give up our sins and to make sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.